Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn. And for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The Liberty Theater was born 86 years ago. And this iconic, exquisite landmark in downtown Astoria has lived many lives. Today, we'll find out about the Liberty's past, present, and future from my guest, Rosemary Baker Monahan. She's the executive director of the Liberty Theater. I also have in the studio Sen Encavo. He is the director of a special theatrical presentation, Land of the Dragon, which is happening on Saturday, May 21st. It's a co-production of the Liberty Theater and Coast Community Radio. Welcome, Rosemary.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here today.
Thank you for having us.
Sen, it's lovely to see you here as well.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Before we start talking about all things Liberty Theater and all things entertainment, education, I mean, it does everything, let's talk a little bit about each one of you. Rosemary, please tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm executive director of the Liberty Theater. As you said, I've been there since November of 2005, and prior to that, I was on the board of directors. I joined in 2000. Prior to that, I was mayor of Seaside, had 12 years of government experience in Seaside, planning commission for 4 years, city council for 4 years, mayor for 4 years. And since 2000, I've been elected to the Clatsop Community College Board of Directors. So
Safe to say that you are very actively involved in this community.
Yeah.
Night and day.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're in front of the Liberty Theater, organizing all the different events there. Okay. And Sen Encavo, please tell us about yourself.
Well, today's actually my 8th anniversary living in Astoria. I moved here 8 years ago today. And I came here and opened up a restaurant and subsequently went on to other things and really enjoy the Astoria community a lot. Worked a lot with the River Theater in doing props, set design, and performing there. And it's just a great place to live, and that's why I'm here.
Astoria seems to attract really creative people.
It does. There are a lot of creative people out there doing a lot of really wonderful, inventive things.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has been a place which has attracted entrepreneurs since the beginning, and people with crazy, wild ideas. So for those people who perhaps aren't familiar with the Liberty Theater, and I hope most people are, but there are some people listening in our listening audience who may not have even been into the Liberty. Let's just talk a little bit about the history of the Liberty Theater. So, Rosemary,
okay,
can you give us a little version of
that? 5-second visual tour of the Liberty
Theater? I think more than 5 seconds. Okay.
It still amazes me. I mean, we've been open. We had our grand reopening in June of 2005. And still at every event or every gathering, there's someone who comes up and says, you know, I haven't been in here since I was a kid. It still amazes me that 5 years later, it's still so new for folks. As you said, it was built in, it opened in 1925. The site that it's built on was the Weinhardt Hotel, Astoria Hotel, the Weinhardt Brewery family. And it was billed as non-flammable, sort of like the Titanic was unsinkable. So, of course, it burned in the 1922 fire. And a group of businessmen bought the block and put together a plan and raised the money to build the Liberty Theater. And it is what's called an atmospheric theater, in our case, built to transport you to a Venetian palace. There's other atmospheric style theaters, you know, like Egyptian theaters. And I mean, they all have their themes. And that's why we're so ornate, is it was to literally transport someone from the community they were living in to feeling as if you were sitting in a Venetian palace looking out on the canal windows. And that's why it was out the windows on the canals.
However, when it opened, though, it does have this feeling of the Venetian. I mean, it's just the chandelier. It's just gorgeous inside, incredibly beautiful. But it was a movie theater.
Well, it was a vaudeville house.
Oh, it was a vaudeville house.
Class
okay.
A vaudeville house. And then the motion pictures, talking pictures came in, and it was a movie palace. And then it evolved over the years so that by the 90s, it was a triplex. You know, it kind of changed as society changed. And in the early 90s, there were two big plywood boxes, one on either side of the balcony upstairs that extended out about 12 feet. So you would sit inside that plywood box and look at a movie on the inside, on each side. And then there was one like a valley between the boxes that allowed a movie to be shown on the big screen on the stage. And so it really had been 50 years since anyone had seen the Proscenium Arch, because it had all been covered up with plywood and that.
So, okay, so it opened and it was this gorgeous, gorgeous structure. Mm-hmm. And then gradually over the years, people started doing things to it. They didn't damage the integrity of the building, but they started covering things up. And then it fell into disrepair?
It was in pretty tough shape by the 90s. There's a group of citizens that got together and bought it to hold it while another group of citizens could put together a 501c3 and raise the money to buy it. So that started in about 94, and by 98, the 501c3 was in place and money was raised and the building was purchased. And then we started a three-phase restoration project. We've completed only two phases. There's still one phase left to go.
And what are those phases?
Well, the first phase was sort of shoring up the foundation and rewiring, replumbing, getting it stabilized for earthquakes and that sort of stuff. And that was about $3 million.
Wow. And that may have disturbed some of the resident-friendly ghosts.
I guess, yeah, there's a lot of folks who had been hanging out there moved on at that point in time, from what
okay.
I understand.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then the second, so we'd spent about $3 million and nobody could really see the difference. So the next phase was all things pretty. One of the first things we also did was, you know, we bought the whole block. So the businesses that are down there lease from this nonprofit organization that owns the building. And so we did that as part of our mission is economic revitalization. That helped kind of trigger the revitalization downtown at the same time the Hotel Elliott started, being restored and that sort of thing. So getting those businesses, it's kind of unusual for a theater to have commercial lease properties as part of its complex. That helps us.
It's very wise.
Yeah, to have that kind of steady income. Right now, that the money from those leases is going to pay off part of our restoration loan. We have about $70,000 left to pay off on that. And then all the first two phases are completely done and paid off. Once the restoration is finished, that money from the commercial lease spaces is intended to go to help maintain the building.
And so you've had these two phases of restoration because it is really exquisite inside. And then what, what's the third phase?
Well, we're just, we're just starting the third phase with the upstairs space that we're doing a project up there. It's about a $900,000 project. We have a pledge from the city for a little under half the money, and we're actively raising grants for the other half. It would be that everything above Jonathan's and Lucy's Books and commercial and Columbia Travel, and then around the back of the building above the green room and the Schooner's Kitchen, that whole space, we're developing it as another room about the same size as the McTavish room, but divisible by three so that it can be three separate rooms. The floors will be sprung for dance rehearsals, and they'll be soundproofed. So we can have three smaller rooms or one big room, however we want to operate the building. So we'll have classrooms, rehearsal rooms, reception room, a place for dance recitals, a less expensive meeting room that's a little bit smaller, that we can rent out. It will also allow us to do bigger conferences when they come to town. Right now we do conferences. It gives us more breakout rooms.
I think a lot of people don't realize that the Liberty Theater has this magnificent meeting space, the McTavish Room, and that you do a lot of weddings and a lot of conferences.
We do. Conferences are not... We're working together with Lower Columbia Tourism Council to market Astoria as an open-air conference center so that, for example, someone like the Heritage Conference that was here a couple weeks ago, they can have their plenary session in the theater because we can seat 665. They can have breakout rooms in the McTavish Room. Eventually, we'll have a few more breakout rooms. They can do breakout rooms nearby. I mean, the Hotel Elliott, the Banker's Suite, the Maritime Museum. They can ride the trolley to get downtown. They can do their banquet at the loft. There's just a lot of places. And then when you're here, you're not sitting in a conference center inside a building. You're part of the community. You can even be rained on at our conference.
Well, the Liberty Theater, I think a lot of people think that is the heart of downtown Astoria. A lot of people say that is the heart of downtown Astoria.
We do, too. Yeah.
And how is the public engaged and involved with the Liberty Theater? there are lots of ways people are involved. First, they come obviously to the performances, to the different shows you have,
and that's really, really important. I mean, that's kind of the main thing that we do. We are very light and employed. It's a nonprofit, and we, like everyone else in this economy, struggle from month to month. We have been operating in the black since we opened, which is an amazing thing for a theater to say. By operating the theater, we bring in about 51% of the income that we need to support the building, everything we do there, maintaining it, operating it, running the shows. So 51% by operating the shows is high. Most theaters bring in about 25 to 30%. So we're doing really, really well, but that still leaves 49% that needs to be fundraised to operate the building. So there's lots of ways you can help. Coming to a show and buying a ticket helps. And becoming a member. We have a seat naming campaign that's still going on.
Take a seat.
There's 111 seats left that can be named. That's one way.
So people purchase this, and this is in memory of my grandmother or
Absolutely.
For my daughter's graduation or whatever, and then they purchase a seat which has their name on a brass plaque.
Yeah, they purchase the name, to name the seat. And there's a plaque that's put in the arm
with the name
that can say what.
So that's a way people can be involved. And then you have volunteers.
We do. We have wonderful volunteers, 100 of them, thank goodness. Because I'm the only full-time employee, and then I have a three-quarter-time technical director, Larry Bryant. Everyone knows him. He's fabulous. And then we have box office manager, Tom. He's wonderful in there, and Marga, his wife. And then we have 100 volunteers who help at all of these events and help usher and are there for fire and safety and, just to answer questions. Today, we're open for a cruise ship, so we have about 4 volunteers in there talking about the history, acting like pretty much being a docent for the cruise ship passengers.
Oh, people want to see that building, absolutely. So maybe we should give people your website so that people can go online, because then they can find out not only about things that are happening, but also if they want to become a member or learn more about the Take a Seat campaign.
Liberty-theater.org.
And it's spelled theater, T-H-E-A-T-E-R, and I always want to spell it T-H-E-A-T-R-E, which is really the British spelling, isn't it?
Well, actually, if you look at the front of the building, it is R-E on the marquee.
Really? Okay.
So the building is an R-E, but when they set up the nonprofit company, they set it up as E-R.
E-R, okay. That's
it's
more American.
Just to drive me crazy.
Right.
I think.
Okay.
But R-E is, from a performing arts standpoint, is what it should be.
Right, okay. Yeah. And there are lectures and live theater and all that. So we're going to talk about some of these events that are coming up. And Sen has been sitting here very patiently, he's going to talk to us about Land of the Dragon. So, but I wonder if chronologically we should just mention that, the weekend after this weekend, which is the weekend of
the opening week of the Bicentennial.
The opening week of the Bicentennial. So Thursday night, the 19th, there's a lecture.
Right.
Which is James Rhonda.
Right.
Astorian Empire.
Right.
And that's going to be incredibly exciting.
Yes, yes. It's part of the lecture series that the Astoria Bicentennial has put together. What we do at the Liberty is partially rentals and partially Liberty Theater events. And this one is a rental, but we're very happy that they chose the Liberty to have the lecture series there. And it's going to be a great evening. It's already, the ticket sales are going so well that we've moved it from the McTavish Room into the theater so that everyone can be comfortable and have room.
Well,
so
James
Rhonda's
plenty
of room.
Yeah, he's a hot banana. And that book, if you haven't read it, Astorian Empire, is if you really want to understand what's about this region, there are many wonderful things. But
and
to have
he'll
him
be there to sign the book after the lecture.
Oh, good. Okay, so that's Thursday night the 19th. We're getting to you, Sen, I promise. We are. Okay, and then on Friday night, what's happening?
Well, Friday we're very, very excited. We have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The Chinook Nation, now that's a European-American way to pronounce it. They pronounce it Chinook. The Chinook Nation and other tribes who are family to them are coming to perform on the Liberty stage. There'll be drumming, there'll be dancing, there'll be singing, and they are doing numbers that are normally only performed for tribal members. And in talking to Donna Bing, who's been helping organize it, he has said that it'll be another 100 years before they do this outside of the tribe. So we're very, very excited to have them there. They are bringing with them three canoes, 2 sacred canoes. In the Chinookan culture, canoes are a being. They have a name, they have a history, they have a story. They were built by the family, and named after the family, like the Lewis Hawks. Lewis Hawks was the first owner. That was the family. That's the name of the canoe now, because canoes were so vital to their livelihood, the hunting and fishing and traveling, that they were another family member, and you treated a canoe with the respect that you would any family member. So they are bringing two of these sacred canoes to the Liberty Theater. One will be on display in the lobby. One will be on display on the elevated stage and lit during the performance. Little Wolf canoe is 115 years old, and it literally was part of the centennial celebration in 1911 when the Chinooks greeted the tall ships as they came in the Columbia River. So it is very amazing. They are so sacred that tribal members will move them only wearing gloves, and non-tribal members are not allowed to touch them. So it's very, very special that we're going to get to see them.
That is Friday. May 20th.
That's just
a week from this Friday.
That's right. That's just the display before the show.
Right.
They're going to bring in a journey canoe, which will be in the lobby that you can touch and you can get in, and they'll take your picture in it and for a small fee to try and raise the money to support the tribe if you'd like that. So,
and then also before the actual performance that night, which is at 7:30, I believe.
Yes.
They're from 4 to 7. They're up in the McTavish Room. There's something happening.
Right. I've offered the McTavish Room to them so that they can bring in some artisans, and there'll be weavers and painters and carvers up there from the tribe, and they're going to set up tables and show what they do, and I think there'll be some demonstration, and of course they'll be having items for sale. That will be from 4 to 7. There's no admission charge to get into the McTavish Room to see that. You can just come and do that.
What a great way to honor that. And I also now want to tell all of you who are listening to this program that you are listening to Talk of Our Towns on KMUN 91.9 Coast Community Radio, and also KTCB Tillamook, Oregon. And we are also live streaming on the web. And this program will be repeated on KCPB 90.9 tonight at 8:30 p.m. If you'd like to listen to it again, or if you've missed some of it. Today, my guests are Rosemary Baker Monahan. She is the executive director of the Liberty Theater. And we also have Senan Kavo. He is the director of a special theatrical presentation, Land of the Dragon, which is a co-production of the Liberty Theater and Coast Community Radio. And that's on Saturday, May 21st. And since we've now just talked about Friday the 20th being the Chinook Nation celebration at the Liberty, let's move to you, Sen, and let's...
want to say one quick thing about the performance itself. They are doing a special blessing song for everyone who is in the theater, and the second half of the show is a group, a Jerry Chapman's band. And I don't pronounce the name right. It's Skawahlook. Skawahlook is, I think, how it's pronounced. And they will have music and dancing and native dancers in full regalia in costumes. So it's going to be a fabulous show.
Not to be missed.
Right.
And Sen, so I mean, you know, Astoria is known for its ethnic diversity. And I mean, this is just incredible that we're able to have, I mean, two nights just right next to each other. I mean, three really when you have James Rhonda, but two nights of amazing performances. And now we're going to be going to China.
It really is wonderful that all of this is happening in one weekend at the Liberty Theater. The Chinese show, The Land of the Dragon, was first produced by the Philadelphia Children's Theater in 1946, written by Madge Miller. And it's a Chinese children's fantasy done in the stylized Chinese manner. So it's been a completely unique experience for our local actors here in town, because they're getting to do something that they've never really done before in a style that has not been seen here, I'm guessing, in quite some time. I'm sure that when Chinatown was here, there were little vignettes and shows throughout Astoria. So I'm really excited to be doing this. And the interesting thing is that the set has been designed to be to sort of look like what Garden of Surging Waves will look like, and has also been designed to be portable, because the set is going up on this coming Sunday. It has to be torn down on Wednesday for the Thursday lecture, the Friday Chinooks, and Saturday morning, the set goes back up for the evening performance.
Yes.
Then the entire show transfers over to the PAC Center for Troll Radio Review. And then
on
the 28th of May, and then the entire show moves down to Cannon Beach for the Coaster Theater for two performances down there.
June 4th and 5th.
So we're pretty excited about all of this stuff going on, and it's this portable show that we're moving, and it's the first time that the Liberty Theater has done community theater, a community-based show with local actors, local talents, doing everything. And it's also the first show that the Liberty is sending to the Coaster.
Yay.
Well, see that collaboration. This is a real community program. I know a lot of people think about the Missoula Children's Theater. So you all, when you decided to do this show, then you ask for auditions from the local?
Yes. We held auditions and got the show cast, and we have a wonderful, wonderful cast. They amaze me every night at rehearsal as to how they're getting into their characters, yet they're not in costume and wig yet, which will once again change the show. The thing I love about doing theater is that it's a totally collaborative art form. You can't do it alone. And it's also a series of integration. The cast got integrated with the script. They will then get integrated with the props, the costumes, the set. And the final integration is the audience. Yeah. They get to see it. So it's a series of integration that is constantly growing, and you learn. It's a learning, it's a journey when you produce a show. And Astoria has wonderful community theater here.
And one of the beautiful things about the Liberty Theater is, even though it seats 660 people, performers tell me it feels very intimate with the audience. So there is a relationship with the audience that is unique in the Liberty.
Very much so, very much so. And, you know, we're finding that working on the stage right now, it has its own unique sense, because the actors now are kind of on their own. I have directed the show as far as I can, and now they have to find their own way through the journey of telling this story about the lovely Princess Jade Pure, who's been locked in a tower all of her life.
And I know Alice Whitaker, who is playing Jade Pure, and she is fabulous.
She's absolutely wonderful.
And how is it, though, then, that a lot of people would say, well, wait, whoa, who's Chinese in the cast? How can you produce this play about China what's the connection here with China?
Well,
the Chinese, and I think I'd like to make that point.
The thing is that I had approached Rosemary with the show that I wanted to do, and she'd been asked by the Bicentennial Committee.
Yeah, there were certain events in the Bicentennial where they would like to have something going on at the Liberty Theater, and obviously we would like to have, you know, it's a nice partnership. And this, the 21st was one of those dates that Paulette said it'd be great to have a family show at the Liberty Theater that night. So I was looking for something that would fit in with what the Bicentennial was doing. And I know Paulette's going to talk about it next week, but earlier in the morning on that day, there's going to be a dragon parade, and there's going to be a heritage fair over near the transit center. So it just made sense to me that this was one facet of the community that we needed to celebrate and honor, you know, the heritage of our Chinese immigrant families here. And one way to do, and then Sen showed on my door with this play that he wanted to do, and it was just such a wonderful fit.
Serendipitous.
It all fit. And the interesting thing was that after we decided to give it a green light, we had the Chinese community here read the script to make sure they found nothing offensive in it. And also the Chinese community in Portland read the script to make sure they found nothing offensive in it, mm-hmm. knowing that there were going to be no Chinese actors in the show. Mm-hmm. Yet they gave the okay on this because, I guess, they like the story, and it is written in the style of how their shows were written in China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we wanted to make sure that everything we were doing was respectful.
Yes, and a lot of people really aren't aware of the Chinese contribution to Astoria, to the salmon canning industry. Oh, I mean, they did so much here, and it has been overlooked, which is why the Garden of Surging Waves, which the mayor is very excited about, mm-hmm. and we all are. So this is one more thing. So Saturday night, the Land of the Dragon, and a great way to support the community and the Liberty Theater, and just to have a fabulous family outing.
Yeah.
And we only have a few minutes left, and I want to say that Rosemary Baker Monahan has very graciously offered to give away two pairs of tickets to the Friday night performance of the Chinook Nation, as well as to Land of the Dragon on Saturday night. So if you can call Coast Community Radio here within the next few minutes, and you will speak to David Paul. The first few callers here will be fortunate enough to get these four sets of tickets, two pairs. And so the phone's already ringing, 503-325-0010. And this is just a beautiful gift. Thank you so much for doing that, Rosemary. That's a way to support the Liberty Theater. And I really encourage you to also go to their website and become a member. So the Liberty Theater is a 501c3 nonprofit. You are a board of directors, and Dr. Bill Armington is, I believe, the chair.
He's the current chair.
He's the current chair, doing wonderful things to let people know about how we can support the Liberty Theater. And how do people get tickets for these performances?
You can call the Liberty box office. It's 325-5922, extension 55. Or you can go online or call Tickets West. Of course, Tom is in the box office, and he'll make sure you get a good ticket and a good seat and can really kind of fuss over you a little bit more than Tickets West can. But either way is a good way to get a ticket.
Good. And there are so many other things happening we didn't even get a chance to talk about. We were supposed to talk about past, present, and future of the Liberty, because the Astoria Music Festival is coming up. And then, when you go to the Liberty Theater website, you will see all of these incredible opportunities throughout the year.
Yeah, the week after, the next week, we have the Astoria School of Ballet doing the Enchanted Ants, and there's an evening performance and three bus-in performances. So, and then Frogtown, and then the Astoria Music Festival, college graduation, Maddox Dance is doing recitals, the scholarship awards, lots of things coming.
Ongoing, just ongoing. So any last thing that you'd like to say, Sen, about Land of the Dragon?
I hope that people come and see it, because it will be a real treat for them to see a different thing happening in Astoria.
It's not like any other theatrical presentation. It really is. It's done in the Chinese style, in that particular
that
style,
correct.
Which is very unusual to find that.
Teaching
here.
Actors to work with fans.
Fans. All right. Excellent. Thank you, Sen, for
You're
your
welcome.
Work.
Thank
I'm so
you,
looking
Donna.
Forward to that performance.
Thank you,
and Rose, any last minute thing that you'd like to say?
No, thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. So I encourage all of you to think of a way you can be involved with the Liberty Theater. If you want to volunteer, if you want to become a member, if you want to purchase a seat, and because this really is, it's the heart of our downtown area, and having this cultural treasure really does define us and make us unique, and all with, you know, small towns in America just don't have this kind of ongoing opportunity for entertainment, education, just incredible things. So thank you, Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire. You can purchase tickets for Land of the Dragon. I'm sure I'm going to see you at Land of the Dragon, and also the Chinook Nation.
Joanne and I are also going to be on the Lady Washington for the Trading with the Chinook Indians.
Well, we'll talk about...
We're going to do that live.
Whoa. All right. We'll talk about that next week when we have Paulette McCoy on to talk about all kinds of bicentennial things happening. I want to also thank Michael Bruin, our local talented banjo instructor, for his original theme music for this program. And I invite all of you to take a moment today for yourself, to take a deep breath, to create some space in your life. And we're so busy these days. There's so much happening that we need to create some space inside ourselves. And we can do that by taking a deep breath, by just being still for a moment, and by focusing on good things, the good things that are happening in your life and all around you. And then I encourage you to give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here right now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.